Okay, we are in Perek Gimel in Hilchos Ma'akalas Asuros, and now in this Perek, the Rambam is going to take up primarily products from animals that are not kosher. For example, milk. And the Torah has a separate prohibition of consuming any food products that come from non-kosher animals. And then one thing we'll hit on also is, as one famous example, is Gvinas Akum, which is the famous rabbinical prohibition not to consume cheese made by non-Jews. And you'll kind of see the rationale in this parak. Halacha Aleph, the Rambam says, Kol ma'achal ha-yotze min min ha-minin ha-asurin shelokin al-achilasan. Okay, so any food that comes from one of the species of animals whose consumption is prohibited and gets malchus for it, hare oso ma'achal, that actual food product that comes from the animal, asur b'achilim min ha-zara. It's prohibited midoraisa to consume it. Kagon, chala behema, vechaya hatzmeim. Right. So, for instance, milk coming from non-kosher animals, ubeitze of vidag hatzmeim, or eggs that come from either non-kosher birds or fish. Shneamar ves bas hayana. It says in the Torah, bas hayana zu beitzasa. Bas here means it's eggs. V'udin lecholha iser kiyana lechol dvarim adom lebeitza. And the same halacha applies to anything that's usher like the yana, as well as anything that's produced like a beitza. Okay, halacha beis. Now chalav adam mutar b'achila. Okay, so chalav adam mutar b'achila. So the milk of a human is permitted, as we know. Af al pi shebasar adam usher b'achila. Even though technically speaking, it's forbidden to go ahead and consume human flesh. Gvar b'yana shubase, and we already explained that this is usher due to an asay. Okay, halacha gimel. Now, what about honey? Okay, dvash diborim dvash tzoraim. So honey that comes from either hornets or bees. Mutter, why? Why is it permitted? Bimnei, she'eno mitamsis gufan, because it doesn't come from their bodies, okay? Ela kontenosum minasavim b'soch pien. So what do the bees do? They collect these herbs and grasses in their mouths. Umakin osam b'koras, and then they puke them out, so to speak. And then they vomit it out into their hive area and they save it so for the rainy season. So that's not considered something produced from the bee. Now, even though technically speaking, we'll just make it simple, breast milk is permitted. Nonetheless, the Chachamim said it's prohibited for an adult to go ahead and breastfeed from a woman. Rather, what he could do is she's allowed to pump into a separate kli, and then he could drink from that kli. The gadol shiyonak minashed, kiyonik sheretz, okay, and an adult who does breastfeed directly from a woman's breast is like someone who is nursing from a sheretz, and therefore makas or makas martyrs. He would get rabbinical makas. Okay, lachahe. Now, yonik tinok, beholech, afilo arbo chomishanim. A baby is allowed to nurse up to 4 to 5 years. Vim gamluhu, okay, that once the child is weaned, uparish shlosh yamim u'yeser machmas barav, right, lo machmas cholav, eindachos of yonik. So if after 3 days of not nursing, okay, and the baby's healthy, at that point it cannot go back and nurse again. It would only be able to nurse again if it was sick. Hu shegamluhu achar chavdal es chodesh. This is only where the baby was weaned after 24 months. But within the 24 months, afilu gamlu chodesh oshnayim, even if the baby was weaned for, let's say, a month or two, within the 24 months, mutar lachzov alinek ad sof chaftal chodesh. You can go back and breastfeed the child even up to 2 years. Okay, halach above. Now, afa pi shechala behema tmeo beitze of tame asur min haTorah, even though the milk and eggs from prohibited animals there's a Torah prohibition to consume them, Ain lokin aleim, you don't get makos for consuming them. Shinemar mibisaram lo sochelu al habasar hu loke ben loke al beitzav al chalav. So you get makos for the flesh, not for the eggs or the milk. Right, and someone who eats it, it's as if they're eating a half a kazayas. Right, ben loke abal makos of makos manos. Even though they don't get doraisa makos, they would still get rabbinical makos. Now the Rambam deduces here in Halacha Zayin. Okay, the Rambam surmises that those who eat the eggs of non-kosher fish that are found in the bellies of those fish. It's as if they're eating the inside of that non-kosher fish. So even though the egg is a byproduct, since it hasn't exited the fish's body, it's considered part of the fish, and therefore you get malchus. So too by eggs. If someone consumed an egg that was from the that was still in the stomach of the chicken, of the non-kosher fit of non-kosher bird, you would get malchus for that. You would get malchus because it's as if you're eating the insides of the bird. Let's say someone eats an egg from a non-kosher bird, okay, where in the inside of the egg, the embryo is starting to form, right? And he eats it, you would get malchus, okay? But when it comes to an egg from a kosher bird, that where the embryo has begun to take form inside, and you eat that, then you get machanus o machas martis. You would get derabanan machas. Halacha test. Now, this is very famous. Nimsalea korat dam. If you find a blood spot on an egg, imala chelbon zorekes adam v'ochas ashar. If it's on the white part, you get rid of the blood spot and you can eat the rest of the egg. Imala chalmon. But if it's on the yolk, asura kula, the whole egg is asar. Beitza hamuzeres and nefesh yafetochlena. The Rambam ends his halacha by saying that an unfertilized egg, ideally, that's the best thing for a person to eat. Halacha yud. Now, if roach shendolad, okay, let's say a chick comes out of the egg, afapishlo nispachsu enov, even though the chick has not opened up its eyes yet, mutalachlo, it's permitted to eat the egg. Behema tahora, a kosher animal, shenitrafa, okay, that became treif, and we'll see what that is later, certainly by Hilchos Shchita. But it becomes treif, chelba asura kechelabei matino. Even though the animal is kosher, right, since it's now a treifa, all its fats are considered like the fats of a non-kosher animal. V'chem beitzas ov tahor shenitrof, so too the eggs that come from a kosher chicken, and that chicken is now acquires a treifa, is considered like beitzas ov tameh. It's considered like the egg from a non-kosher bird, and therefore would be us. Halacha yud aleph. Now if roach shenolad mi beitzas treifa mutter, so a chick that's hatched from an egg that is from a kosher animal that became a trefa, that's actually mutter shein minotame, because it is not from a non-kosher bird. Okay, so again, even though the bird that laid the egg was a trefa, the chick that comes out of that egg is not considered, doesn't acquire, so to speak, obviously those trefa characteristics, and therefore it's kosher. Now, haya of suffix trefa. Let's say the chicken, let's say the bird is a suffix, whether it's treif or not, we're not sure. Kol beitim she'ete'ele barim rishona mishayin osan. So all the eggs that are born in the first round of egg laying, we store them, okay? Im taina arima shniya, all right, if another, what do you call it, group of eggs comes out, v'yischila leled, right, and they start to hatch, before, what do you call it, she begins laying those eggs, hutru harishonos, then the first on mutter, Shem Haisa Treva, because if this chicken, if this bird was going to die, Lo Haisa Ledesoda wouldn't be able to lay more eggs. Then Lo Yalda, but if it didn't lay any more eggs, then those original eggs, Hare and Asuras, they would be prohibited. Okay, Lach Yibbez, Chola Behema Tzmeya, all right, so the milk that comes from a non kosher animal, Eno Nikva, okay, it doesn't actually congeal, the Omeid, and solidify, Kechola Vatora, like milk from a kosher animal. Now, the Imnis Arev, Chola Tzmeya, the Chola Behema Torah, if you mix non-kosher milk with kosher milk, right? Shetamid oso yamod chalav atorah v'yotza chalav atmea imakom shalakvina. And if you mix the two together, what would end up happening is that the kosher milk would eventually become solid, the non-kosher milk would not. Okay, and then you can get rid of the non-kosher milk, which basically is treating it like whey, right? When you deal with cheese, so that would be the way of getting rid of the chalav atmea if it got mixed up in chalav torah. Now, because of this, because of this problem in Halachi Beis of the mixing of Chalav Tmei and Chalav Tahara, Yiten Adin should call Chalav and Nimsa Biyad Akam Asur. Okay, because of this, all milk that's found in the hands of a non-Jew is Asur. Why? Shema Aravbo Chalav Behem Atzmeya. The concern is that even though the milk may have come from a kosher animal, we're concerned that the non-Jew will go ahead and mix milk from a behemah tmeah with the milk from a behemah Torah. Ugvinas ako muteris, okay? Okay, but when it comes to cheese made by a non-Jew, that's mutter. She'ein chala behema tmeya mizgaba. Because ultimately, the milk from a non-kosher animal cannot become cheese. Aval bimei chachmei Mishnah, but nonetheless, during the times of the Mishnah, gazru al gvina sa'akum, they prohibited cheese sold by a non-Jew. The asrum, v'neshe ma'midin osa be'or kibos shel shchitasan shehi nevela. Because what would they do? They would use the inner lining of the stomach of the cow, okay, which they shefted, and therefore is nevela, okay? And they use that, basically what we call rennet, to go ahead and serve as the catalyst to form the cheese. Now, the imtomar, but what if you say as follows? The halo ora keba dabar katanu, ad me'od. But one second, that rennet, that inner lining of the stomach, is a very tiny little thing, right? Ad me'od b'chal sh'avad bo, right? Vlam lo yivato miuto. Now, we haven't hit how bittul works yet. That's going to come up later. But basically, the Rambam's giving us a hint that there's such a large amount of milk against that tiny amount of the inner stomach lining. What do we care? Because ultimately, it's true that as a substance, there's a very small amount. Its functions to be a catalyst to make the cheese. It's what makes it curdle. Since that's what causes it to become cheese, everything is usher. And the Rambam will explain how this works later on. Now, lachiyadal, gvina shemamidosa akum ba'asavim me'peros, okay? Sometimes the non-Jews would allow cheese to be made mixed with, let's say, fruit juice or different spices and herbs. Kagon srafa ta'enim, v'harei hein nikarim begvina, right? And it would be recognizable. You would see that these substances were in the cheese. Haru mixas go'onim shiyasura. Some go'onim did maintain that this is usher to consume. Shekvar gazru al kol gvinas akum, right? Because all non-kosher cheese, all cheese sold by non-Jews is not acceptable. Bein shehem yidua b'davar asur, bein shehem yidua b'davar mutter. It doesn't matter what caused them to become cheese. Okay, so again, there were times where they would use, and which is actually even done today, they would use non-rennet to go ahead and serve as the catalyst to make the cheese. There are those go'onim who maintain that all cheese still remains asur, okay? So since the gzera was for things, for using the or keva catalyst, so therefore they would include as well, even non or keva catalyst insofar as cheese formation is concerned. Okay, lachatesva. Now, ochol gvinas akum, as someone who does eat cheese from a non-Jew, ochol of shechobo akum, or milk that was milked by a non-Jew, ve'en yisrael ra'ahu, and there was never a Jew watching over the non-Jew, Makanus o makas martyrs. That Jew gets rabbinical makas. Now, a chemash akum, what about butter? Okay, non-Jewish butter. Mixa sagonim itirua. Some gonim said it's mutter. Why? Sherelo gazru alachema vechalav etmea in ome. Because they didn't include butter in the gzera. Okay. And the reason why is because of any little bits of non-kosher milk that might be there. Mixa sagonim asura. Why did some gonim say it was asur? Me tiksuche chalav sheisharba. Some gonim said it's asr because you can sometimes find a few little drops of chalav tmeya in the butter. Sharia kom shebechema, because the whey that's in the butter, inam uravim vechema, never mixes in with the butter, kdeshi vatal miuta. There's no way for it to be batal. The chol chalav shelahen, all of their milk, kosher lo shema irubo chalav behem tmeya. We're always concerned that maybe some non-kosher milk got in there. Okay, lachat ez zayin. Now the Rambam says, yirali, he surmises again, Rambam says, if I purchased butter from a non-Jew and I cooked it to the point where all those little droplets of challah tmeah would disappear, then it's perfectly mutter to have this. Because if we say as follows, you'll say that the drops of the milk were mixed with the butter, but it was all cooked together, and then it became batal as a result. But if the butter is cooked by the non-Jews, then that will be prohibited because of what's called giuli akum, which we'll also get to later on. Literally, it means the spreading of taste from non-Jews, their tam into kalim, which again we'll get to later. Now, Yisrael sheyashov bitzada eidah shel nachri. Let's say a Jew is hanging out by a flock of sheep owned by a non-Jew, or that flock of animals, Uba Nachri, and the non-Jew comes, he brings milk from that herd of cows that he's keeping an eye on. Even if in that herd of cows, there's one or two non-kosher animals, the milk will be mutter. Even though the Jew did not see the non-Jew milk the cow, or milk the animal. As long as it's possible that the Jew could see the non-Jew milking the animal if he stood up. Because the non-Jew will be afraid. He's concerned that he doesn't get caught by the Jew seeing him milking from the wrong cow. So as long as he knows that threat, so to speak, is apparent, you can rely on that that assumption. Now, beitza sheshnei roshea kedin, o sheshnei roshea chadin. Okay. Now the Rambam is going to describe basically what kosher, so to speak, and non-kosher eggs look like. Okay. So when you have an egg where both the top and the bottom of the egg, okay, are, let's say, round, okay, or pointed, o shehaya chalmon bimachutz, or where the yolk is on the outside, v'chalmon bimifdim biyadua shehu beitzas tov tameh. Or if the yolk is on the outside and the white's on the inside, then for sure we can say this is an egg from a non-kosher animal. Rosha echad kad, rosha echad chad. Let's say one side is pointed and the other one is rounded. And let's say the yolk is on the inside and the white part's on the outside. We don't know. It could be an egg from a kosher or non-kosher bird. Therefore, we ask the hunter, that sold it to him, where he got this from. If he says, hey, it came from Yaakov's chicken, then we can rely on him on his statement. Let's say he said it came from a kosher bird, but he doesn't know the name of the owner, then he can't rely on what the hunter has to say. Therefore, Allah yates, the vikach ain lochim beitim in akum. That's why we don't buy eggs from non-Jews. Ela imaya makir osan. Only if we recognize the eggs, the ishlo bahen tvius ayin. Okay, and there's some type of when we look at them, we can see something about them, shehein beitze o ploniatar, that identifies them as belong, like a stamp, that they belong to that guy, who owned the chickens. Vein choshin lahen shemahein beitze trefo beitze nevela. We therefore don't concern that it came from non-kosher animals, a bird that became a trefor, or a bird that was shechted inappropriately. But we never purchase an egg without a shell, okay, from a non-Jew. Okay, lachachaf, beitze dogim. Okay, now we get to fish eggs. Simaneim kesimane beitzeo. The same signs that we can tell beitze dogim apart. So from kosher, non-kosher, same by beitzeo. If both sides are rounded or both sides pointed, we know it's tmeya. If it's one side pointed and one side round, you ask the Jew, the fishmonger who sold it. If he says, listen, I salted them and I removed them from a dog tar, you can trust him. But if he says they're just tar, he's not trusted. Unless he's someone who we know we can rely on as normally for his knowledge and adherence to the Hilchos HaKashrus. Halacha Chaf Aleph, V'chein, Ein Lochin Gvina V'Katichas Dag, She'im Basimen, Elam Yisraeli, She'Hilchos HaKashrus. We never purchase cheese or pieces of fish that doesn't have any sign in it from anyone other than a Jew who we can trust his observance of Kashrus. Ela Be'eretz Yisrael, K'shehaisa Ruba Yisrael, but in Israel, when the country was populated mostly by Jews, lochem mechol Yisraeli Shabbat, you could take it from any Jew. And when it comes to milk, you could purchase milk from any Jew at any time. Let's say a person pickles non-kosher fish, the brine that emerges from them is aser. But let's say the brine that comes about from pickling non-kosher grasshoppers, mutter, that's mutter, mesh ibahem lachlukas, because there's no actual moisture in the brine. The vikach in lochin sir mina akum, that's how you don't buy brine from non-Jews, el imkin hayabo dog tor, mishutat bo, afilo dog echa. Unless do we know there's a kosher fish inside, floating around inside the brine, even if it's only one fish, that would be sufficient to rely on being able to purchase the brine. Alachav gimel. Now, akum shehevi areva mileya chavios pisuchos shel tzir. Okay, let's say a non-Jew comes along and brings this large trough-type thing filled with open barrels of brine, and there's v'dag echatar b'achas mehem, and there's one kosher fish in one of those barrels, let's say, kula mutaris. All the brine is mutar. Hayustumos, okay, let's say they're closed. Pasach achas v'insa b'datar, shnia b'insa b'tar, kula mutaris. Let's say they're a bunch of barrels with brine inside. I open one up and I see a dag tohar. I open a second one up and I see a dag tohar. I can assume all the rest have dag tohar. V'hu shi'a roshal shal dag v'shitrokayim. As long as the head and the spine of the fish are there. Kadesh and Nikashu Doctor, so I can recognize and identify this as being a kosher fish. That's why we don't buy ground up salted fish from non-Jews. Taris trufa. That's what they're called. As long as the head and the spine are recognizable, even if it is the rest of it's ground down, it's then permitted to take it from a non-Jew. Finally, to end off here, Lacha Chavdalid, Akum Shehevi Garav Shel Chatikos Dag. If a non-Jew brings, let's say, a barrel or a type of thing like that, a large kli that has pieces of fish cut up evenly, Shechasuchan Shaveh, Behein Nikaran Shekula Midag Echad, and we see they all came from one fish, Umatza Bechaticha Achas Mehen, and we find from one piece of all those pieces, Kaskasin, we see, scales, Harikula Mataris. Then we say all the pieces are mutter. Okay, we'll stop here. I'll pick up Perek Dalet tomorrow.